Good morning. It is 9 a.m., April the 18th, 2023. Good morning and God bless. I am your good friend Dan here in Scompton, Utah. And you might be out there listening, and this is a service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon on the run in Utah, on the run for, 2 years now. And God bless. God bless this day. God bless you. God bless the church. The church. We often use that word, the church, and it's funny. People think of buildings, and they think of 501 C3s, and they think of, structures and institutions. That's what they think of when they think of the church. But what if the church is simply the congregation of true believers in Christ? And what if it is that ambiguous? It's not simple. What if I told you that if you're a Catholic and you go to Mass, you do go to Mass, and there are members of the church there, and you might very well be a member of the Church of Christ, but not everything there and not everything in the Catholic Church is. Would that bother you? A lot of people get bothered by that idea. What if I told you you're a Baptist, and you go to your Baptist church, and many of the people there are of the Church of Christ, but not all? And sometimes not the ministers or the priests or the popes or the bishops, no matter Baptist or Lutheran or Quaker or Catholic. What if I told you on Sunday, when you go to worship, that you are, I hope, I believe, a member of the church, and there are other members there, but not everyone is? It's a hard thought, brothers and sisters. And the good news is we don't have to judge. We don't have to determine. We do not have to separate the wheat from the tares. That is the work of the Lord in the world. But I mentioned this at the opening because sometimes people get the wrong idea that I think people should not go to church at all. And that's completely the opposite of my own message. And I think the message of a disciple in Christ. We ought to seek out other Christians and worship together. And if you are lucky enough to have found a congregation where you get to worship on Sunday, and it's mostly people who are there for Christ, and the message of your reverend is mostly, if not all, the message and the word of the Lord, God bless you. God bless you and your family. That is, I think, one of the great joys of life, because in that process, we find not just a congregation, but we find a family, a community. And in that sense, the work of the Lord grows. The first reading for today's service is Psalm 103. This is specifically a psalm of King David. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And in its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from 2 Samuel 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he slept with her. Now, she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness at the time. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent his word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will do no such thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, "When you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up. He may ask you, 'Why did you get so close to the city to fight? Did you know they would shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Amalek, son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman drop an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? Why did you get so close to the wall?' If he asks you this, then say to him, 'Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead.'" The messenger set out, and when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and came out against us in the open, but we drove them back to the entrance of the city gate. Then the archers shot arrows at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead." David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, 'Don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as the other. Press the attack against the city and destroy it.' Say this to encourage Joab." When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house. She became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord in heaven, we must love thee with passion. In our life on this earth, we face travails and challenges. As often as not, we place the blame on God. Why, dear Lord, did you do this to me? We shake our fists and beat our chests, scream and yell and tear asunder while cursing your name, dear Lord. But in our anger, in our repentance, in our frustration, we still love you, God. For you gave your only Son, Jesus, to save us all. To save us all from sin and perdition. So I say, Jesus, my Lord in heaven, I love and worship you. And so I say, that is what we do. We love and worship our Christ, the Lord in heaven. I will work to be a disciple of Christ. I will wander this world and stumble and fret, and still my heart is yours. In your name, we serve Jesus Christ. Amen. The next reading is from John 15, 9 through 17. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends." You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's interesting. I was on social media, which I promised myself I'd never do again. And I had a brief kind of exchange with someone, and I thought I'd pick the topic for the service for this week. And it's still going to be a topic. I'm wary to talk about it because it's a subject I think you're best to bring up at most once a year. Not because it's not important, but because to focus on this particular subject is to give this subject too much power. That being said, all power is the Lord's. Now, here's an interesting thought. I was doing some study. A really good friend of mine in Seattle had given me some books a couple years ago, and I haven't been as diligent about going through them, but I was reading through a book that he'd given me. And in one of the chapters, it discussed the Hebrews and this idea that in ancient times, they had more than, and I think we do too, but they had many, many names for God. Like, it was still one God. It was still Yahweh. It was still the Lord in heaven. But they had many names. And one of the names, and again, if any of my listeners want to correct me, they can. And God bless, I'll bring it up at the next service. But I believe one of his names was, and this is the translation, His love endures, or something like that. And so think about that as we go through this conversation, because the reason for me changing the topic this week, I was walking the dogs this morning, and I gotta tell you something. These dogs are amazing. And knowing them the last couple of years might have become one of the most important things in my life. And I know that sounds crazy. Maybe some of you think it's insane. I never owned a dog. We had dogs growing up, but I never really bonded. We had a lot of dogs, and many of them died on Highway 20. So I suppose we didn't really know them long enough before they died. And by the time I got to the point where maybe I was ready, we'd already moved someplace else, and yeah, we really didn't try any dogs there. I think we had a pup once, and we had to give it away. But knowing these dogs the last year has given me a perspective. Number one, I'll never see a dog the same way again. One of those things, and this is really popular in the world of an atheist, of an empirical scientist who dismisses God, one of those things they love to do is to tell you, well, dogs can't love you, and dogs can't care for you, and dogs can't have feelings for you. And believe it or not, that kind of thinking is connected to atheism. Because if you're in a world where you think you're just an accident, just a random accident, some atoms, some particles, and some gigantic multiverse, you could have been a corncob person, anything could have happened, that's a very cold world. That's a very empty, empty world. You know, there's this cartoon I like, Rick and Morty. And Rick Sanchez plays a kind of iconic genius scientist atheist. And he can do anything. He can create anything. He can build anything. One of the things he's not very good at is love. And it's funny because throughout the different episodes, whenever that subject does come up, and it does come up, he's a disaster. He's a failure. He's not able to connect the dots. For all of his genius and understanding, he does not know or understand one of the most important things we have to know and understand in this life and this love. You know? These dogs do stupid stuff, brothers and sisters. Boomer, like, okay, this morning, this dude rolls up on us. He rolls up on us, and I'm okay about the dogs getting an alert. He rolls up on us, And he asked me about the tricycle in the yard, the one that's broken. And I said, listen, $20 are free if you come and pick it up. And we had a conversation. And at one point, the Hungarian pulley, Shaggy, starts barking at the guy. And then Boomer joins in. And I'm kind of embarrassed because it's like 6:30 in the morning. You know, people are trying to sleep in Scompton. And these dogs will do things. You know, Boomer has a history, and he will act according to his history like people will. He has PTSD because as a puppy, he was tortured. And so he'll do things, and I don't think he means it. I don't think he does it out of spite. He does it because he's like me. He's like you. He's weak. He makes mistakes. He probably knows the right thing, but he gets overcome. And like you and I, like just about any person I ever met, probably every person that was ever born, to include the disciples of Christ, he's damaged. Yeah, brothers and sisters, I hate to break it to you, but when Adam and Eve got kicked out of Eden, one of the meanings of those curses is that, you know, you're damaged. And the kids you're going to have are going to be damaged. And they'll have kids, and some of them will be decent enough, and some of them will be damaged, and that's life. We're not perfect. We're not God. And we're not living in a perfect place any longer where we don't get damaged. And yet, when I look at Boomer, I do believe he loves me, okay? He sits outside my door waiting for me to open the door in the basement. I'm just the old weirdo that lives in the basement. And I still think he cares about me. And what he knows, I believe, is that I care about him. A friend once told me, and this is changing topic slightly on this subject, but a friend once told me when I was still an atheist, and I was for most of my life, probably going back to kindergarten, up until the age of 40, roughly, he told me, you know, this Christian friend told me, you can't really have a strong marriage without Jesus. And at the time, that seemed silly to me. I was an atheist, an empiricist, a software engineer in technology. How dare someone tell me that the only way I can have love is if Christ operates as a almost like a mediator in it, that if Christ is a part of it. But looking back, I will tell you, I think he was 100% correct, because the thing, the part that Christ teaches you, is what love really is. You see, for a lot of people, love is getting what I need. I need this. I need to be surrounded by people that constantly say positive things. I need to be surrounded by people that are really, really in good shape and have great abs. I need to be surrounded by people who wear the nicest clothes and have the nicest car. I need to be surrounded by people who only agree with me, and if they don't agree with me, I don't want them around. Christ was never like that. Christ would break bread with just about anybody. Christ was not ashamed to be crucified with criminals and crooks. Christ was powerful and good enough to love a prostitute and to accept that love, which is part of the mystery here, part of the story. If you want a marriage to last, it has to be like that. It has to be more than just the passion and the lust, because believe me, where we're going next deals with that, I think. It has to be more than just that. It has to be deeper and more powerful. It has to be a love so powerful, it overcomes things like lust. Or in Boomer's case, it overcomes things like a block of cheese. And then there's David. Because that's where this is leading, brothers and sisters. That's why I opened with those readings. Because David is a mystery to me at times. Okay, David is beloved by God. He is. He was. He always shall be. The Lord in heaven loved him when he was a boy. The Lord in heaven loved him so much that he stood by and protected him against Goliath and against the other, you know, princes of Israel, you know, against Saul, who wanted him dead. David was loved by God, but you want to know something? and it probably wasn't just this one time. David was a screw up. In one fell swoop, one time, and I brought this up in a service a couple years ago, but it's worth remembering. In one fell swoop, in the case of Uriah, in my humble opinion, because there's more to the story than what I read, in one fell swoop, I believe David broke every single commandment, every single one. And if not, he broke enough of them. In one fell swoop, David did the things that Moses would ask the Lord to swallow a family into the sand for, an entire family. You know, Moses said, "Lord, these people, these terrible people, take them away." I'm paraphrasing. And the Lord opens the desert, and I believe this is in Numbers, and the desert swallows them up. I think it's Korah's rebellion. You know, the Lord didn't mess around in the Old Testament when it came to the covenant, is my point. And if you're a king of Israel, a representative of the Lord on earth, which, by the way, read 1 Samuel chapter 8, a thing we never really needed, and a thing that was never going to be very good for us, but, you know, that's another subject. If he was going to pretend to be the representative of the Lord on earth, the representative of Jacob's children, of Israel, you would think he'd be held to a higher standard. But the reality is, David was a screw-up. David was damaged, probably. David was broken, probably, in a lot of ways. And yet, and this is critical, David loved God. And the Lord in heaven loved him and forgave him. You remember last week when we were talking about Easter, and we were reading those letters, the letters at the beginning of the book of Revelation, and that last letter has those lines, and I paraphrase once again, the Lord doesn't want you lukewarm. You can be hot, you can be cold, you can be angry, pissed off, and at peace with the Lord, but he does not want you lukewarm. He doesn't want a pasty, greasy, some type of weird skunk and raccoon stew that's at 60 degrees temperature laid in front of him. He wants you to love him, and to be honest with you, he wants you to hate him, but he doesn't want you to ignore him or to pretend that he's not part of your life, and he doesn't want you lukewarm. He doesn't. You know, he is a Lord so powerful, with shoulders so big, you can shake your fist at God. You can say angry words to God. He would prefer that you pray in a way that is respectful and loving, but the Lord's shoulders are huge. This is something, too, that I think leads us indirectly to the subject that I was going to discuss today, and that's the guy named Lucifer, Satan, the devil. A long, long, long time ago, brothers and sisters, and I have to drink a little water here. A long time ago, brothers and sisters, long time ago, before mankind, before the world was created, there was the Lord in heaven, and there were the angels. And the story goes that no angel was loved more by God than Lucifer. And this is where we go back to the little bone-mouth Sharpay Boomer, who in some ways has a lot in common with the devil, hopefully not too much. You see, Boomer doesn't believe I can love him and love Shaggy and love Kia the Hovavort and love Bailey, who's currently up in the woods. Boomer believes that the only love I have could possibly be for him. And like a really good NFL like linebacker or maybe even right guard or whatever, he will swoop in and he'll block anybody trying to come at me to get a pet, to get a scratch, because all of that is his. Boomer doesn't understand. And he's a dog, okay? So maybe he won't understand. But Boomer doesn't completely understand that I can care for him and care for the other dogs. And I think some of this is related to his trauma. Lucifer never, ever understood that the Lord's love was Hesed. What was one of those names the Hebrews gave God? What was one of those names the Hebrews gave the Lord? His love endures, but it's bigger than that. The Lord's love is infinite, and it's for all time. It is Hesed. It is a deep and powerful love that most of us will never, ever be capable of because we're just not God. We're not going to live on earth that long. We'll live forever in heaven, but it's not our job to be God. So we'll never really fully understand that kind of love. And most of the humans I meet, you know, do a barely a good enough job with a regular kind of human love that we should be practicing, the basic kind. And if you recall from Psalm 103, there's another secret to love, and that is forgiveness. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles that you may or may not like. You really can't love unless you know how to forgive. I love Boomer the dog. He screws up a lot, but I still love him. And I try to teach, that's also part of love in a lot of cases. And I try to understand, and that's also part of love. But you can't really love anybody at all, ever, unless you know how to forgive. Which, if you listen to my podcast and you listen to my services, you know this is something I work on. I got a lot of anger and wrathfulness in my heart when it comes to certain types of things in the world. I take them personally, as I've said before, which I shouldn't. These are the things that are for God. These are the things for the Lord in heaven to worry about, and I take them far too personally. But I need to learn how to forgive. Let's talk about marriage again here really quick. If you're in a marriage with someone and you don't know how to forgive, then your marriage is going to fail, period. It will fail, or it will become a living hell. You'll have those two options: failure, which means divorce, or you will spend your miserable life with that person, sniping and yelling and screaming, torturing, poking at, mocking, beating down. You'll wear each other down to nothing. You'll both become open wounds or divorce. And yet, if you had 20 years of pain between you and the person you loved, and if one of you at one moment on one day were willing to say, "I am sorry," you might be surprised how all of that could be washed away. Love is forgiveness, brothers and sisters. Love is understanding. Love is understanding that the people we love on this earth, they're amazing, but they're not God. Boomer's amazing, but, you know, he's not Jesus, he's not God, okay? He's not going to be perfect. He's going to do things that are going to be screw-ups. And if I were to say Boomer's a worthless dog because he made a mistake, then I would be no better than the people that raised him from a pup so many, you know, a couple years ago. I'd be like those people, spray painting them. I would be like those people starving him if I was a person who said, "Well, gee, I can't love you anymore because you're not a perfect dog. You pooped in the house one time. I'm sorry." I never understood this when I was married. I really didn't. I never understood this as a kid. I carried grievances for years and years and years. I carried anger against my dad for decades after he died because I just didn't know how to forgive or forget or to understand. Imagine a Lord in heaven who has to see every single greasy thing we do. And maybe he even peers into our minds and sees the thoughts in our heads that aren't our actions but could be. Imagine a Lord in heaven that has to see the pain and the anguish and the hate of millennia. And then imagine that Lord sees all of it, all of it, all of it for all time still loves you. And it's not an imagination, it's a truth. One of the names for God is His love endures. I'd like to take a moment of silence because there are a lot of people out there who suffer from a kind of loneliness. And there's different kinds of loneliness, brothers and sisters. There's the loneliness of a person who's trapped someplace, no people around. Maybe they're in prison. Maybe they're in the wilderness, but they're alone and they're physically alone. And then there's the loneliness of being in a crowded room or on a bus going to Redmond to work at Microsoft. And you're surrounded by people, but you're still alone. There are lots of people who suffer and endure through loneliness. And what I would like to do in this moment of silence that we pray for, we pray right now in our silence, I'd like us to say a prayer for those who feel nobody cares for them, nobody loves them, because here's the deal. It might be true that you are in enemy country. It might be true that you are surrounded by people with daggers in their eyes. It might be true that you're in prison, or that you're on the run, or you're in the wilderness, but you should know that His name is His love endures. And He loves you. Jesus is right beside you. He's always there. Even when you shake your fist, even when you yell and scream, even if you pee in the house, He's still there. So let's take a moment of silence for those who feel unloved. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be His name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the church, disciples, because we're all disciples. If you got something you want to work on this week, work on love. If you want to know how much love the Lord has for you, it's infinite. So if you want to know how much love the Lord can take, well, He can take everything you got. He can take your love, and He can take your hate. He can take you shaking a fist. He can take you pooping in the house. What He doesn't want, and I don't want to talk about the word fear, because that's a word, I think, more about the Old Testament than the New Covenant. But what He can't take is for us to be a lukewarm bowl of porridge. What He can't take is for us to be passionless and empty. What He can't take is for us to go to church and be thinking about the barbecue. That's hard for Him. But even with that, He still loves you. So let's try to work on that this week. It's not going to be easy. It involves being friendly to random strangers. It involves maybe being more understanding about that recent French bulldog you bought. It maybe involves us being understanding and forgiving to people that we never thought we could understand or forgive. We have to work on it. And it is a two-way street in a lot of ways. I mean, it's not as simple as you forgive and everything is okay, but we have to work on it. And if you're in a marriage right now, specifically, if you're married to somebody and you feel like the money and the jobs and the fashion and the cars and all the noise is more important than the person you go to bed with every night, you need to throw that away. You need to learn to understand. You have to learn to listen, I do too, and forgive. Forgiveness is a powerful thing once we learn how to do it. But it's a skill. It's a muscle. You have to exercise it. So for the virtual church of Little Saigon on the run in Skompton, Utah, it's Tuesday, April the 18th, 2023. Go forth in peace and love, my brothers and sisters, and God bless.